That clock's not right.
Oh, it says 6:30.
Record will show that we have all in attendance, correct?
Except for Tina.
Youth and governance, we have one. Ms. Rendy is not with us. Okay. Item number two, citizen comments. At this point, we will open the hearing up to citizen comments. Anyone wishing to address the committee? Anyone wishing to address the committee? Seeing no citizen comments, citizen comments are closed. Chair, supervisor, and youth and governance comments. Committee. Supervisor Alderman.
Just one that's got nothing to do with this meeting, but it was something in the paper before. You all probably saw that we had an accident out at the detention center. Last night's report was not very severe, and so the paper was a little shocking this morning because they said it was serious. This morning I got the full report that the one gentleman that was burned had turned. They had, it's a 160-degree antifreeze leak in these pipes, and when it started to go, he turned, so his burns were on his clothes, on his back. His injuries were from then jumping off the ladder. He was on a 12-foot ladder. And the gentleman down below was injured with the ladder and things also. He was released and was back at work today. The gentleman that received the burns, they weren't serious. They were mostly on his clothes. And he wanted to go back to work today also. But he was not released to go back to work. So wasn't as serious as the story this morning sounded. And I got the report from Ray this morning.
Where was that?
At the detention center.
Oh.
Our facilities guys were working on a small leak on a heat pipe.
Okay.
I appreciate that update. Hopefully they're both on their way back soon. Any other committee member comments?
This is the information that I talked about last month about the Country Thunder economic impact analysis. And I understand that Chairman Molinaro will be meeting with the county executive next week.
Yes.
And hopefully there will be a discussion that takes place on whether or not he can finance this, the whole $2,500 out of his discretionary fund.
If the county board had that budget item, they could have done it.
Any other comments, Supervisor Clark?
Nice.
Any other committee member comments? Just one, I'll update this committee that coming before finance is going to be a resolution addressing the legal fees associated with the defending of the redistricting case. Typically that would go through this committee as legislative oversight, given that it's essentially a cost coming out of Frank's office. Corporation Counsel's office. Supervisor Clark was on point with that from the beginning. I have no concerns with it going through that committee. If we had any concerns about whether there was support for it on the county board floor, we might want to rethink that, but something tells me we'll be fine there as well. So we'll go through finance. If anyone has any questions, concerns, you can contact Supervisor Clark and myself, talk that through. Yes, sir.
There's some other issue, other legal fees too that we wanted to lump in. I've talked about them throughout, so I think
they call that pork barrel, Frank, and I don't
yes.
know if we do that.
No.
Other legal fees we wanted to lump in.
Well, we've had an issue with Brookside bidding.
Right.
The committee was aware of that. An opinion done by Quarles and Brady for social services, couple of other, I can't remember what they all were at the top
so
of my head.
So is it your intention to have that come to the committee? Or
well, we have a report, and Linda, can we just send that to everybody? And then if the finance committee just wants to handle the city one, that's okay too. But eventually somewhere down the road, we're going to have to address the other one.
What's your pleasure, Joe?
I mean, a finance committee has to handle it because it's a budget modification.
At some point.
Wanting to take it from the general fund, but previously, there was discussion. I mean, obviously, the redistricting lawsuit has come in higher than anybody imagined. But if it were half that number, we somewhat intended that we were going to be able to cover it. So I'm a bit confused as to, and I mentioned this to Al, that I'm going to just be curious as to what the number ultimately ends up being from what
can
we're told.
Can you send a cop, email?
And I guess the question I'm asking is if we're going to, if the Finance Committee, I recognize that ultimately the Finance Committee has to weigh in on it. Typically would originate in legislative or is now under the new structure, executive, vote of finance or a joint meeting. Again, with specific to redistricting, I'm not terribly concerned about it. The question I think I'm hearing the corp counsel ask is are you comfortable adding the other fees, legal fees, into this one resolution?
There's going to be discussion as to how they get to that amount in the Finance Committee tomorrow.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm okay with that. The concern is acting on this almost immediately to make sure we're not violating our appropriation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's why they're somewhat trying to push this.
So if you'll get that information to
we will email the what the costs have been so far this year to everyone here.
And these are final costs for everything?
Well, there may still be some bills coming in before the end of the year. On the redistricting, I believe that's the final.
Okay.
All right, then typically we're a little bit off of our calendar now for meeting. I guess we have a meeting. Well, that is correct. We have a meeting on the 13th of December. So we're not so far off. But we did miss last month due to conflicts. So we'll meet on the 13th.
So there will be a meeting in December? I didn't know with the holidays and things like that, you know.
Oh, my other committee's taken off.
Yes, we'll meet in December. Particularly because we missed November, so I think it's important that we get together. All right, I have nothing else. Anything else?
We didn't miss November.
Sure?
Yeah.
All right. 638, number 4, report from Menominee Indian Nation regarding Bureau of Indian Affairs application in place along with Kenosha County and Trust, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to take a moment and make a statement here before we get into the specific discussion. There's a number of items on here. I'm not going to have much heartburn about combining and having an overall conversation. Certainly we'll separate any resolution for a specific reading of that item, but if there's some overlap, I'm okay with that. Before we start, I'm going to very specifically address my displeasure with being here this evening, once again, the way we are here this evening. This is going to be the third extension, I believe, correct?
Well, we're not looking for an extension.
Well,
we're looking for 3 years.
Okay. This is going to be the third extension. Talking about a different length of time, and it is my opinion that the response from the tribe has been almost entirely non-existent. So I will say to you this evening that I am looking for very specific answers to very specific questions that were posed at the time of the first extension and still have not been answered. You will address, to my satisfaction anyhow, and I'm not speaking for the committee, the issue of reimbursement for attorney fees. We will talk specifically about the expectation and about milestones. Feel free to discuss the jobs. If the jobs were that important to you, you would have handled this differently. Okay? So when this goes haywire, and the argument is that the county board was non-responsive and doesn't care about jobs, I will be on the record as saying that it's simply the tribe's responsibility. Have we met at all since the last extension, Frank?
Not with me.
I don't believe we have. The discussion was we were going to get together. We were going to come forward with answers to the very specific questions that we posed. So I trust we're going to have them here tonight. If we do, I'll entertain moving the resolutions forward, getting it to the county board. If it isn't, certainly it's the will of the committee. It would be my direction that it not be put on the county board agenda. Your extension that you have is the extension that you have. I think the county has been, certainly I know I've been involved in discussions and emails and dialogues and questions back and forth. It can't be that you're not authorized to commit to anything because you've got to go back to your group. I understand how all of that works, but this has got to be handled differently, and I hope you're here tonight prepared to do that. If you're not, I'm putting you on notice up front that you better do some scrambling in the next few minutes and answer some very specific questions. I trust you'll take exception to what I'm saying, just reading some facial expression. But you won't convince me that you've approached this. I meant to grab the letter, and I don't have it. But once again, the letter was, here it is right here, right? Is this the one? November 2nd. No. That's not it. But asking for this meeting tonight, I don't think that letter's a week old. And here we are, scrambling to pull together a meeting on a night that isn't scheduled. I'll do it all day long if there is an understanding that you're committed to getting this done cooperatively. So, with that before us is a report on the Menominee Indian Nation, the specific to the casino. So, I don't know who's making that report.
It's not me.
You got me
there. Yeah.
Good evening, and appreciate your time. I know how it is to scramble around for meetings. I just want to introduce Lisa Waka. She's with me tonight. She's previous chairwoman of the tribal legislature. She is on the Menominee Kenosha Gaming Authority. She's one of three. And as I think I reported last time, I'm in my last year. I basically have 2 months left, so we're trying to make sure that everyone's up to speed on where we're at with this. And so Lisa's here tonight, and wherever I can't answer, she's going to bail me out. So, and we have John Wilhelmi, our legal, you've met him before, and of course Eric, our local representative. So,
would you mind, Mr. Chairman, if I moved up and sat with you? And I want to thank you very much for allowing us to sit in on your meeting tonight. I think we're here, and we're prepared to answer a lot of the questions that you have, Mr. Chairman.
Well, this is primarily your meeting, so
okay.
Have at it.
So I don't normally kind of read off notes and stuff, but tonight I'm going to, so I don't want to miss anything because we've had a lot of activity since we last met because of the status of our litigation and our settlement. So I'm going to first give an update on the application status. On September 26th, we tribal officials, of which I was one of the ones that participated, met with the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Washington, D.C. to discuss what updates would be necessary to our application, and that was after we had reached a settlement with the federal government, and they had 45 days to basically respond to our application. That 45th day would have been October 3rd. So they met with us on September 26th. And at that meeting, they basically went over our application, gave us specific information on updates that they would be looking for, and they would follow up in writing with what they were telling us. Overall, they said the tribe had a solid application. They talked very good about our application, but they felt that there were some gaps, and because of the time frame involved since we submitted the application with the delays that had happened, then with the rejection, with the litigation, all that, they felt that things had to be updated. Similar to what you've been asking us, the same type of things, the financial projections, the environmental impact statement, stuff like that. So on October, and the other thing that they said is that the Midwest Regional Office, which is the office that gave the original recommendation regarding the application, that everything on the updates would go back through the area office. So on October 14th, tribal officials met with the Midwest Regional Office in Minnesota to discuss the issue as well and look at what type of time frames that would be committed. And when we were in D.C., we were concerned about everything kind of going back and the updates and what the timing would be, and the D.C. office basically said it was on the tribe. However fast we could get updates that they were requesting and that the regional office could look at it, the regional office would then have to basically package everything up, send their recommendation back in, and then the central office would look at it. So when the tribe met with the regional office, they know the pressure we're under, they know the timing that that has elapsed, and the financial constraints, and they assured the tribe that they would commit to the reviews. And what we're doing is basically from the letter that the tribe gave us, or I'm sorry, that the Bureau gave us, the tribe did a task list and broke down the different things that they said they wanted updated. And as we update that different information, we submit that to the regional office. And so they're reviewing as we submit so that we're not waiting to redo everything at once and then submit and have it delayed. They're reviewing as we update things. So the goal is that we will have everything in and they will have reviewed everything by mid-January so that their recommendation will be back into the central office no later than the end of January or mid-January. There were a lot of key things that the Bureau was looking at. Of course, one was the environmental impact statement. That was a huge process with the application. And so the contract between the Bureau, the tribe, and environmental or analytical environmental services is the group that done the initial EIS. We've contracted with them to redo the update because that's the most cost-efficient thing for us to do. They're familiar with the original EIS. They've already been here in Kenosha. The Bureau of Indian Affairs has already been here on the ground, and so they've already started that work. So,
the regional BIA has been here?
Yes. I think they were here the second week of October. Or November?
BIA has been down twice, and the AES guys have been down once, so I'm not sure the dates.
So, AES has committed that they would have the review done within 60 days. And the Bureau has to work with them on it. So that's the big one. And then the other big one is the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Central Office, they are interested in also knowing, since time has elapsed, can you still do what you said you could do just like you have asked us? So part of the other update we have to provide is that analysis. So we have not contracted with somebody at this point in time to do that, but we've got like two or three groups. One is got a limitation on being able to do it down here because of competition. So that piece has to be done. And then a lot of the other smaller pieces that they've asked us to do, we've done. One example is we had to say how far the tribal headquarters building is to Kenosha, and it was basically providing a Google map of the distance. So there's like just tiny things that they've asked for that we've already done. We've sent at least two mailings into them already since we started working on this. One of the things that that we tried to do is we were meeting with them in September is write down a lot of the stuff that they were telling us, and they had promised that, they would provide a letter to us detailing out what they had told us so we would know step by step. And that letter didn't come to the tribe until October 17th, so we were still kind of hitting and missing on what we thought that they wanted based on trying to go by the specifics of the letter. So that kind of delayed us a little bit, and it was just, you know, constantly calling the federal office, the D.C. office, and saying, where's the letter? Where's the letter? You know, we're on a time frame. We can't wait. So that letter was issued to the tribe on October 17th. So at that point, we had, and we had actually met with the regional office prior to the letter coming out because we knew what some of those key things were that they wanted, and we wanted to get the regional office to commit to making this a priority. So one of the things that the other thing that we've provided that they kind of hit us on was the historic connection, Menominee's historic connection to southeastern Wisconsin, and they also the exercise of governmental power over the trust lands. That's a big issue for the Bureau, and they talked about the IGA. They're basically wanting you to know that everything that we submitted back in 2005 is still there, still intact, and that nothing has changed with this application substantially on anything, because it would cause a major re-review. It could cause it to look like a new project. So it's basically, is everything the same? Can we still do all the same things? So one of the things that we had talked about, too, was the scope of the project. That's been a concern for you guys for a while. Can we still build what we said we were going to do, financing, stuff like that? So while we haven't contracted with anyone to do this total review of the financial projections to submit for the Bureau, we have to try to prepare for this meeting tonight because we've got all these moving parts. We're trying to deal with a lot of things with a lot of different people, and it's difficult because there's basically nine of us on the legislature. None of us are full time, and the Kenosha Gaming Authority is trying to do as much. We're really, you know, John is going to be sick of us by the time the end of December rolls around. But we on the scope of the project, we had contracted with an individual that is familiar with capital markets, scope of the project, that could look at what we were doing and was the marketability still there. And basically what he is saying, and I can read some of the stuff he's given, he is saying that this project is still doable from what we originally said. We can still do it. That the scope of the project could remain unchanged.
Who is he again?
His name is Steven Erickson, and he's a nationally recognized expert in municipal hospital health care and Native American finance.
And this is just a general comment?
No, he looked at our PwC study. He's looked at the market in itself, and he helps put together financing packages for tribes, for other entities too. So he's an expert in this field, and if you he's out, like when there's these national gaming shows, Steve's out there. He's well known in the industry. So what we did is we contracted with him. We had originally asked we had asked Leo Chapaska, the finance manager for Mohegan, to kind of relook at everything for us, and Leo had, you know, said he could do it, and then he wasn't able to. And so we had to find somebody else in the meantime pretty quickly to kind of relook at everything for us so that we could give you some answers and so that we would kind of know ourselves before we really get into contracting with the consultants that will actually do this as a submission for the update on the application.
So, and if I could, that's I guess my point is this is really a not a very in-depth look. It's a quick blush over information that you've previously put together. The updated business plan has yet to be contracted and will be once it is, it's information that we submitted to BIA.
Right. So if I can just kind of keep going through some of the things. PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers, is the one who did the original market study for us. And recently, PwC had done a global gaming industry lookout, and they had reported on what 2014 would look like. And specifically, while it showed that the market declined and kind of talked about that commercial gaming's been hit more than tribal gaming and regional gaming, basically what it says is that they're predicting that revenues are going to substantially increase again after 2012 and specifically after 2014, and that the largest gain on the increase will be tribal gaming. Their article, and we can forward that over to you. I don't have the article with me tonight. I don't know if John's got it or not, but they're predicting that the tribal gaming revenues for 2014 would constitute a 34.4 increase in revenue from 2005. So they're predicting that gaming is going to turn back around and that tribal gaming entities will be the largest, I don't know what the word is, but they'll have the biggest growth.
And it's an article that
PricewaterhouseCoopers did, yes. And we can provide that to you. I don't have it. Do you have it?
When was that published?
It was just a couple weeks ago, I believe.
No, it was January of 2011.
January, because it was January of this year. So what... So what Steve Erickson and you know, we can bring him in, you can meet him if you want to hear this, but he basically did provide a letter. You know, he's saying that the that the information that we previously submitted can still be done, that you still can support the phases. But because there have been major changes in the capital market since the original plan, that you may, your first phase, depending on when you come out to market, you may not be able to borrow as much as you first thought you could if the markets hadn't changed. But that this project, and we had originally phased it out, that you still would be able to borrow and you'd still be able to do what you wanted to do as far as the scope and size of the project. So I think we got extra letters and Steve's bio, if you want to pass them out, Eric.
Both so, the letter so, and there's a bio.
So
I think I only have 9.
Okay, I can give one of mine.
Sorry about that.
So he is an independent, basically, so he is an independent consultant that did take a fast look at this for us. He's does a lot of business in this area, so. So I know that we don't have the full thing that you were looking at. This is the closest we were able to do in the time frame that we've been trying to do all of these updates and these documents. So one of the things that we're looking at is we have to have all of our updates done. And as soon as we can enter into this the contract to have this more formalized project financing looked at that we would submit as part of the update to the application, we will definitely share that with the county board, that more formalized thing. But we're pretty comfortable with what Steve has said with this, as well as what the PwC is predicting, because they were the ones who did our initial market study. So that we felt that was good news for us, that we're going to be able to still, you know, do what we said we were originally going to do. Because I know you've been concerned about it. We've been concerned about it.
Lori, I have a question. Sure. On the second page of this letter, the first paragraph says the project would have to be redesigned so that it could be built within the parameters of what the capital market conditions dictate.
So
if you change the project, you're going to have to resubmit.
No. What he means more about the phasing. So as long as we say, so as long as our project scope is still the same, which we're saying it still is, 3,100 slot machines, 75 table games, 5,000 seat multi-purpose facility, the retail. We had talked about phasing from the very beginning because we didn't feel that we could borrow that all up front. So what Steve is saying is you may have to maybe do more phases. When you first go out to that, it's going to depend on that first, when you first go out to market, how much you're going to be able to borrow. So we may have to do less in the initial phase until it starts doing, going, you know, getting its cash flow. And then you have to have that proven track record on what your facility is doing before you can borrow more. So he's saying you will be able to eventually do what you said you're going to do, but instead of maybe three phases, maybe you're going to have to do four phases. It's all going to depend on where the market sits at the time we go out for financing. So when he uses the word redesign, he's talking about that phase one. You may not be able to do everything you wanted to do in that phase one, but what the Bureau is going to look at is that you can still do overall what you said you were going to do. So, and Steve is saying the market demand is still going to be there, even with the, you know, when we had done our studies, we had looked at the Illinois market, what possibly could happen there. So he's still taking that into consideration as well. So we don't feel that there's going to be a major, we don't think anybody else that will relook at this, so that we'll have to bring on, or it's going to say anything substantially different. We've had another group that's kind of looked at it, but not as in an official capacity, that's basically told us the same thing, that the market capability is still there for this size project. It's going to come down to that initial borrowing and what you're going to be able to do, what the market's going to demand.
Thank you. Going back, you talked about the application and that it was had to go back to the Midwest region, and that if everything basically goes well, by the end of January you would have a decision from the Midwest region. But what is the time frame once it gets past that? I mean, it would go back to DC, and what is your
the central office isn't going to have a time frame that they have to lock in and look at this. They're not going to have that. But what they told us when we met with them in September is the timing was all on us. It was how fast we could get it, how fast regional was going to get stuff back to them. And then once it got there, they said they would review it. They understand we really reiterated our timing of how long this has been and basically how it's really strapping us. And they would not commit to a definite time frame, they said that they would review it when it got there.
And then did they give you any idea if the file would be complete at that point, or if they could actually come in and say, well, this the in the Midwest region, the task that you your task list is this, but we're going to require you to go. I mean, do you have any idea what they're going to?
My understanding, and John can correct me if I'm wrong in this, but the whole thing with the settlement was that they had to tell us based on the review in that 45 days, what we needed to do. And that's what they've done with the October 17th meeting, and that Midwest would work with us on getting that in, and that would be it. That they've told us everything where that application needs to be updated at this point in time.
So the October 17th letter came from DC.
Right.
So and basically they said that they will consider the application updated when we tell them.
Right.
We've provided everything.
I guess my main question is, the Midwest region gave you guys the approval.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. They're saying, okay, we just want an update, and we're giving you this task list, and just to make sure everything jives. But then, what is the hurdle when it gets to DC? I mean, is this something where it could be a month, it could be a year, it could be 3 years? Is there any idea, did they give you any sense, or is that anything even in your lawsuit that they'd say, you know, that we're going to give you X amount of time because we know you're investing into this, and the longer it's prolonged, the more the tribe is dishing out more money, and, I mean, we need to get closure.
Yeah, well, so no, as Lori said, they in the settlement or in discussions, they will not say a date. I think the best way to look at it is they have committed on an administrative level. First of all the heavy lifting, the administrative work of it really is done through the EIS and what we're providing to Midwest. They're not doing a whole lot of further technical review once it gets to DC. It really becomes a political question at that point. It's ready. It could be approved. It would meet all the requirements when it gets to DC. Mm-hmm. Is there the political will at that point to, for instance, say, yep.
But I guess that's my take. My question to you is, you got all this money invested. What is the word? What have you, I mean, because you have people, you know, you're in D.C. that, I mean, is this, I mean, are we just spinning our wheels and investing more money into a project that's never, you know, that's going to eventually just die out? Or, I mean, is there actually some light here?
Yeah, obviously, we don't believe so, because we're investing a lot of the tribe's money in it. Here's the thing. I'll just say my belief in the people I've talked to in D.C. and that sort of thing is that they have approved two recently off-reservation deals that they had never done in the past. Menominee is considered, I would think, generally, if you spoke to anyone, to be the one other deal that has a chance of being.
Now, is that going back to two that were approved? Was that part of this lawsuit? Was it a class action suit, or
no.
Was it separate?
No, I mean, it was separate, but it's the same. Under the same rules,
okay.
Basically. This was post, remember they pulled that guidance,
right?
And then they actually acted on a couple. Now they're a little different because they were closer. They weren't 200 and some miles, one was 60 miles, I think. They were both in California. But I think the real problem, potential problem timing-wise, is the closer a decision gets to the election season, the farther into 2012 you get before you don't get a decision, the inertia then becomes, well, maybe we're not going to allow a decision until after the election. That's why we're happy to get a commitment from the Bureau that they will have this update done, presuming we get them what we need to get them,
right,
in mid-January, because we think there's still a
window
of opportunity for action to be taken.
Once regional is sent it there, then there'll be a lot of activity by the tribe and lobbying efforts from all kinds of people for the Bureau to make a decision quickly. And we've asked that. They know. I mean, I really stress that in the meeting with them, that we need a decision. One way or the other, we need a decision. You know, either you're going to approve it or you're going to deny it, but we can't wait any longer. And they had a lot of people in the room. They had their key players that came in, and they understood that. So it will be that we'll have to keep pressure on them to make a decision so it does not get into that political realm. And that's why when they said that the deadline is how fast you guys react, that's when we said, okay, we're going to do some rapid stuff, and that's what we've been doing ever since we had that meeting, so that we can get the quickest turnaround for that update back to them, so that we know what we're facing. If we get, say, probably past, you know, maybe April or May, we know if then you're looking at this, the presidential election stuff starting to kick in on us here, and it will be waiting, and then it's kind of what we've been going through for a while. So we understand the timeline that we're on and what this means, and we're working on this thing every day, trying to get all these pieces together, and our task list is looking pretty good of what we've been doing, and we can share that with you too if that would help.
See, now you need to be cautious when you make statements like that, because that's where I jump up out of my chair and I say, why haven't you been doing it?
And so,
do you have more presentation to make? I don't want to cut you off.
Well, I think I hit everything. As far as the question on the attorney fees that you guys have been asking about, we did take that to the legislature, our tribal legislature, and our tribal legislature is not willing to pay attorney fees. We just feel that this is a government-to-government relationship. We have our cost, and they're not willing to do it.
Okay.
So
we'll come back to that. It is not a government-to-government relationship. It is a developer-to-government relationship, period, my opinion. You go to many municipalities around Kenosha County. Kenosha County is not one of them. But other municipalities in Kenosha County, any dialogue, any discussion you have as a developer, you are a developer. I recognize that you're also have the government oversight that comes along with the tribal authority, et cetera. At the same time, this is a development deal that you are asking and have been spending year upon year upon year working on. It is costly to the taxpayers. As a developer, you need to bear that responsibility. If you worked in many municipalities around here, you would pay every minute that you are in the room having the conversation with them, whether it be employees or their outside counsel. That's number one. When you talk about your environmental impact statement that's being updated, you should have something from AES within the next 60 days. We asked for that at the first extension. Now I hear tonight that you finally have that in the works, but we're not going to have it for this approval. It's coming. We asked for an update on your financing, an update on your business plan. This isn't what I was looking for. In all honesty, this is, in my opinion, pretty basic, pretty simple for anyone who's in the business world, the development world, or the finance world. There's nothing special, you know, and I can appreciate that he's a member of the Order of Quaff Beta Gamma Sigma. This is just fundamental. It's a fundamental reading of anything. The economy has changed. Financing markets are tighter. You might have to rescope your project. You might have to rephase your project. Well, you know what? I live that every single day, as does other members of this room. I'm sure Supervisor Elmer has got clients all day long that have rephased their projects based on the fact that markets are a little bit tighter and they don't have the money. This is not what we were looking for. So you haven't answered the scope of the project issue. You haven't answered the financing issue to my satisfaction. You're talking about you've contracted... who did you say? You contracted with a group to come back with a This is just from Mr. Erickson, just in the short term, in the interim here, but you've got a group you're contracting with to come forward with a revamping of your business plan, correct? So to make the submittal to the BIA, what about the submittal to Kenosha County? We've been asking for it. It was part of the conversation from day one.
Did you ask for an environmental?
In every meeting we were in, Eric, and Corporation Counsel, Supervisor Clark can address, correct me if I'm wrong, the question of the need to update the environmental impact came up. The question was, are you required to do it?
And can I have some rebuttal
Absolutely.
On this? Chairman, I understand your frustration. I do. Everything that you're asking us at the point where you were asking us that, we hadn't met with the Bureau to know what they were going to require on the settlement and what they were going to be looking at as far as the review. So once we understood that, we started doing all this, and for us to contract to do that work before we knew what the Bureau was going to look at on our application, it would have been very costly for us to do that. We simply did not have the money to do it. And right now, contracting, we still don't have the money to do it. We're really stretching ourselves out doing this. The update for the environmental impact assessment is going to run us up to $100,000. We didn't want to get into that unless we absolutely had to, if they were going to require it. Same thing with the financial projection. To have somebody re-review the financial projection, we're getting estimates into us in between, you know, $50,000 to $75,000. It's money the tribe doesn't have. We wanted to make sure, after we met with the Bureau and got their letter, exactly what they were going to require us to do, which is the same thing that you want us to do. It's the same thing that we've known we've probably had to do. But until they met with us and told us that, we couldn't justify putting that money out when the tribe didn't have it. This IGA, it's critical. If we have to, as part of the update, still show that we have an IGA in place. We still have to show that we have the land option in place. Anything that's not in place when we update the application, that is dead. So if we walk away and we don't have an IGA, then it's done. We're done for. That's the simple fact of the matter. So we're doing everything that we can, and as we get those documents, we will share that with you as soon as we get it. But what you are asking us to do, we couldn't do in the manner that would have still satisfied you because of the cost.
And so, I fully appreciate the position you're in. However, if it was waiting on the BIA for further direction, that is something that needed to be clearly communicated to us so we understood and we understand. At the same time, there is no other way to put this that maybe doesn't sound disrespectful. If you are looking at an $800 million development deal that you simply can't afford to put $10 million in up front to know if it's feasible, you shouldn't be doing the deal. That is just the reality of it. You can't talk about an $800 million development, come to me and say that you can't do this piece or that piece up front because you just don't have the money to do it, yet somehow I'm supposed to go to the taxpayer of Kenosha County and ask them to foot the bill for our portion of it when I have no guarantee whatsoever that you're capable on your end. Those are the guarantees and the promises that we've been looking for and we've asked about. We've talked about 60th Street. Where's that resolution on that issue? Has that been resolved?
I sent an email 2 days after our meeting with the city to County Executive Cruiser, just like I was asked to do. I asked a couple questions in there as to what portion, what the cost would be, what portion that was the tribe was expected to pay. Because it is already widened along the entire south end of our property.
Correct.
So I asked, are you looking for us to pay all the way to 94? Are you looking for...
I saw the email.
And I've never received this response.
Did you follow up?
I've not seen Jim. I've not followed up.
You had some mention about a We also talked about an overall review of the IGA and the opportunity to take a look at that. Not that it was going to be reopened, but that there were some points on both sides. The city expressed the same thought in the meeting at Kemper Center, I believe, that the county did. That has not come to pass. We asked a question about the timing of the land going into trust, specific to the a number of approvals that go along with it, and where and when is the point of no return. I'm not aware of that question being answered as yet. So these are all things that I would like to be able to go before the county board and share with them. Instead, what I have, again, with all due respect to Mr. Erickson, is a page and a half letter that is supposed to suffice for the confirmation of your ability to finance and your ability to build an $800 million project still, whether it be three phases or four. Environmental impacts update that is pending, a deeper review of the overall project that is pending. You talk about the fact that you believe your proposal is currently in a condition that is approvable by the BIA, right? I think Mr. Wilhelm just mentioned that. Did you not?
When the updates are done, yes.
Oh, when the updates are done. A significant number of those updates are tied to questions we've asked. So now, here we are. You're looking for a three-year extension. I'm struggling to understand what in the heck I'm going to present to the county board that is any different than what we presented to them last time, which is we think we got a great plan. There's been two others approved. We are, by all accounts, the next best off-reservation site out there. Mr. Erickson says we can do it, and we've got some other information that'll be forthcoming. And if the mayor and the executive would have responded to me, I'd know more about 60th Street. I don't think that's going to get you 3 years. So I hope you can appreciate where I believe we are. And then, once again, I have the opinion that we're doing the heavy lifting for the city. Any conversation with the Common Council?
No.
Not surprised. Tired of doing their work, too.
On the comment you made about if we couldn't afford to do this, we shouldn't be doing it. We had a partner that put $12 million into this. Our tribes almost put $3 million into it, $3 million that we don't have to do and is causing us problems every day. It's the time frame that has not been the tribe's fault. It's been, you know, federal level that's caused this, and so it's not like we didn't have the pieces together to get this done. We were at the mercy of the federal government. We were unfairly treated. We had to sue them, and so now we're in a part where so much time has went by that we no longer have anybody willing to fund it. We've been trying to keep it afloat the very best that we can ourselves because we believe in this project. And when we entered into this partnership way back when, we all believed in it that it would be great for all of us. That hasn't changed on our part. We have hit some very difficult times. And I know that, you know, you're upset by how this has happened, but none of it is because the tribe hasn't been trying to do anything or keep this afloat, and we simply are in a time frame where we're doing it on our own, and we're doing it to the very best ability that we can. And if we, you know, if somebody would come out and help us, we'd love that. We'd love that, but that's not where we're at, and so we're trying to do everything we can to keep this thing together.
And I appreciate that. I fully appreciate that. What are you going to do if you don't have a developer involved? You will not get financing for any phase of this project, regardless of what the capital markets are. So I'm hard-pressed, again, I will say it, to say to the taxpayer, and you know, this will be a little bit different flavor, of course, because now we're all those who are running for re-election are all running for re-election, and you know, we're not going to want to turn this thing down because then we're going to knock on doors of some guy who says we cut jobs and weren't responsive, et cetera, et cetera. The truth of the matter is, it is much more than what the Kenosha News, if they were here, would print in the paper, or what they will print in the paper come next Tuesday when this is on the county board agenda. And I have to be responsible to the overall taxpayer in Kenosha County, and that isn't to continue to run up legal bill upon legal bill upon legal bill for a deal that simply isn't getting answers to us. Supervisor Eckert has had a question.
Yeah, okay, I remember what it is, too. When this thing gets to D.C., is there what's procedures are they going to go through? As I recall, the last time they had 30-day periods where people are going to respond and different things that went on that just dragged this thing out forever.
When it gets to D.C., they're under no time constraint. They can take as long as they want. They could approve it as soon as it gets there. As soon as the Midwest region's recommendation is there, they could approve it right then. They could say we're going to sit on it for 3 months. We're going to sit on it for the next year. They're under no time constraint. So that is the unfortunate thing. It is the tribe, you know, a huge concern of the tribe, because at the end of the day, if that would continue on, then we would probably have to be looking at, you know, an unfortunate decision, and that's the worst thing here for us, is that everything is so close, everything's right there, and because of not knowing those timing issues, we may have to do something that we'll never know, and we could have been right on the brink of doing this, and that's really heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking for me, who's, you know, put 9 years into this thing, but we are still trying to work with bringing in a new developer. We are trying to get somebody else to fund these ongoing costs we have with the land option, and just helping us with these costs of these updates. We're in negotiations right now. We have not signed anything, but we're really pressing to do that, because there, you know, it's not just pressure from like your constituents. We have pressures from our constituents. They're, you know, people don't understand the scope of this and the magnitude of what this really means. These are not easy things to do. If they were easy, you'd have a lot of these off-reservation casinos all over the place. They're extremely difficult to do. So we are now, we're facing that same pressure. We just went through two general councils. We just went through one Monday night over this project. It's 9 years. You spent this amount of money. We have, you know, you can't fund this for the tribe, but you're, so we are facing a lot of pressure. We're doing everything we can on our end to hold this together, because we're like on step 8 of 10. You know, or 9 of 10, if you look at regional and then central again, if you look on a scale from 1 to 10. And so we feel those pressures, and so we are working with the developer. If we come to a deal, that will help all of us, and that would be something that would ensure that financing ability at the end as well, because that's another area that the Bureau wants to know. Do you still have a developer? You still, you know, what's your management? Those are all things we have to answer by January 15th.
Mr. Chairman, could I comment on what Lori said? And Lori is, she has worked on this project for a very long time. And this has been it's been a graveyard for chairman. I have chaired this tribe for 4 terms. And for 4 terms, I have worked on this project, Mr. Chairman. And we have worked diligently on this project. Working with the federal government, I'm sure you all know, is no joy. It is not a joy. Nobody knows why they do the things they do. And I'm sure they don't either. But here's the reality. We're going to send them a document that is legal, that is going to hit every one of their little marks and little things that they throw in front of us. That's going to be, that'll be there. What we then have to do is we have, then the heavy lifting is to muscle that thing through. And we, that's why we're working with developers, because we need somebody who can muscle that through for us. Because we can go and we can knock on doors, you know, and, you know, our tribe is always telling us, well, you know, tribal leaders get out there. No, we need some, we need a heavy hitter that's going to go in there and speak to them. And that's why we're working with the developer now. It's a percentage game that we're talking about. We'll have that document and it'll be legal and it'll hit everything. Then the rest of it is that political power that you need to push this through. And that is where we're going to be, hopefully, in just a few short months. That's where the difficulty lies. And if we can get beyond that, we're not going to have any problems with it. Can you do this deal? You know, will there be money for this? No, once that signature, once we have that approved, you know, people know what this project would do to for you, what it would do for us, and what it would do for a bank that would want to fund it. So that's what we're dealing with. And as Lori said, we're in discussion with developers, because they do have the money, and we've gone through a lot of money on this project. You know, I'd like to be able to give a per cap to my tribe for what we've spent on this project. It's been millions.
We've gone through basically a third of our reserves. So that, and that's where people are.
Well, don't misconstrue where I'm at this evening. I've been working on this project on this county board floor for 9 years as well. Never not had my support, ever.
We appreciate that. We do.
Supervisor Clark negotiated the IGA as representative of Kenosha County. I believe was a Noble was chairman at the time. Elderman was chairman of the county board at the time. Mm-hmm. So around this table is support, and you've had support out of the four of us for 9 years. I don't recall the exact tenure of the other three at the
eight.
Table. So eight.
Six.
So I don't want you to misconstrue where I'm at this evening by any stretch. But at some point in time, we have to have answers in a definitive timeline to what we're talking about. Supervisor Clark.
First of all, certainly I can empathize with what you guys are going through. You know, finding this information out, and I understand there is a significant amount of investment. I understand the length of time, and I know that, you know, losing O'Hagan when all this went down, which was a big money source. My concern with the agreement clearly is, and you've answered that preliminarily, and you have to answer that to the BIA. And I understand wanting to understand and see what the BIA wants before you're out there spending money that you don't have, and the money that you are spending is coming out of the per capita payment from your members, and they're kind of screaming why you're taking less or whatever it is. So I understand that. When we got into this and it came up, my concern always has been, are you going to be able to do the project that you said you were going to do? It sounds like you're saying yes. I think one area that you need to work on is, and I'd like to have this fleshed out a little bit better, is when you're talking about phasing, when you're talking about we may have to phase this differently, does anybody have any idea of what you're thinking an initial phase may look like? I mean, there could be one phase. We go into the barn out there, and that's one phase. Nobody wants to see that happen. Okay? We want to see the investment. We want to see the trades out there working and building something. We want to see people getting back to work. That's real important. That's important to me, to understand any idea of how that phasing, if the first phase was $600 million or the preliminary and then phase one. What do you think it's going to be? What's it? What should we expect? I would hope that you guys can at least give that some thought. Talk with some preliminary numbers. They have an idea. The capital markets have an idea of the projects that they have done out there and what you think it can do. You should be able to address that. In defense of the county board and many of the members on the county board, we had 11 new members on this county board this last term. And I think since we approved this in 2005, I think we're maybe 18 or 19 new members. And a lot of them have questions, what is this and all of this. I'm comfortable with this project. If you guys came and said, we can do this project, I'd be happy with what we originally proposed. The question is, they're saying you can. How long is it going to take? And I'm not so. I'm more concerned with what that initial phase is going to be. What's the economic impact of that? What are you going to do? It's certainly now at the time where we understand you have to spend money. We are either going to approve this now, or the chairman's going to schedule a special meeting for the end of the month when we have more of that information. Because you guys are at the point now where you have to have this done by January 15th, so somebody has to have better be able to have some preliminary ideas by the end of the month, if that's what the chairman chooses.
Joe, can I just...
Sure.
Let me just address the phases. Because, you know, one of the things for us to move forward is we would have to, you know, to really do a good project study again is relook at the property and what we're going to do with it. Remember, when we started, there was dog racing there. There's no longer dog racing. That significantly changes that whole structure out there and what we will have to do with the structure. And, you know, again, what can we save from the existing structure? What can go out? And where can we start building others? The problem is now going out and getting the national architecture firm to do that for us and paying a lot of money, and that's just not going to happen. To bring somebody in and give you a preliminary, here's what we think we want.
Well, I mean, again, we have to know something more than just going into that building. Just going into that building is a phase. How fast you move off that dime is an issue. So, you know, you can look at it in terms of we're going to do a phase. We're going to build something comparable to obviously it's the same quality, same whatever it is. But how many square feet are we going to have? How many machines do you think we're initially going to have? How many tables are we going to have? How many employees are we initially going to have? What do we think that initial construction contract based on the capital information that you think is going to have? Some kind of some tangibles where we can look at it and where you guys have had at least some analysis. I understand a preliminary analysis. When I try to negotiate things or try to do things before I get the attorneys and get everybody involved, I want to almost be at a handshake agreement, know what I'm supposed to do, and that we've almost got a deal before I want to spend money. So I understand the process, but I need to have a better understanding of that initial. If we're going to pare it back or we're going to phase it this way, I want to have a lot better idea there. Certainly, in the past, I've said this about legal fees. We put, and I understand that there's other developers and out there that go to do stuff and have to pay at other municipalities. But we just borrowed $500,000 for economic development. We put $1 million out there for economic development. I have no idea how much we spent in attorney fees last time. While I certainly want to be a protector of the finances of the county, a nominal investment on our part to help this project, or at least see this through and get to the point, because frankly I have a feeling we're going to come to a head relatively soon, but everybody was optimistic that last time, but with the political season being upon us, I think something's going to happen. Up or down, and you guys need it to be up or down. We need it to be up and down. Last question is, we give you this extension. You guys go through this process, and you don't get the capital markets, you don't get the financing and all of that. Has the land gone in trust, or how does it come out of trust? I mean, do we have to... I'm just concerned with what happens to that site. So
I guess I think we've discussed this slightly, but in order to purchase the site, we're going to need, just to purchase it, $40 million, basically. There's some credits against that. To get someone to loan you the money, to purchase that site for that amount of money is only going to happen if bond holders, if banks have a viable plan as to how that's going to be conducted as Class 3 gaming. So the site really can't be, we don't have $40 million. No one has $40 million to buy it if it can't do anything. So I think that's a practical
issue. So to be clear, what you're saying is, the land will not go into trust. It won't be able to go into trust because you're not going to be able to get the initial financing if there's not a viable project there.
Correct. Because, and not only and it's not just financing of, say, $40 million or $35 million, whatever it ends up being with credits.
It's $400
million. Yeah, it's, you know, no one's going to pay that amount just for that thing to sit there. It has to be the viable plan to build out a Class 3 gaming facility, you know, in essence. And I know what you were saying before about the phases, and I think that what the chairman said about with Steve Erickson's letter being, basic stuff that finance people do, well, that, to the extent that's right, you know, the reason the financial markets have changed, and not the reason they've changed, but how they've changed is the leverage amount. What you thought, based on the revenues you could borrow back then, has gone down. The banks have become more conservative.
Exactly.
So that $250 million first phase based on revenue projections, that's what he believes. Now that's could be higher, could be lower. That's probably what the first sort of temporary slash first phase, at least at this point, would look like. Now there have been projects that have been built in Michigan with 2,000 slot machines, 2,500 slot machines, restaurants, amenities for those initial first phases. To break it down into exactly how you're going to rephase or relook at that in regard to what exactly is going to be built phase by phase will involve, you know, a little more detail. I think the key issue on that again, the chairman brought up, and I wish we had it, I wish the study was done, is those revenue projections holding. Everything flows down from there. That's where you figure out how much money you're going to borrow. Now, we believe, based on some things in how the markets have gone, that although there's been a dip, that dip hit a lot harder in Vegas and the East Coast than regional casinos or tribal casinos. You know, it was not double-digit dips, and that it's coming back up. But that is, you know, fundamentally what part of what we need to provide to the Bureau. And that's what we don't have now. And again, I wish we did. And there's, you know, a number of reasons why we don't. We haven't been able to enter into that contract yet at this point. But it's one of those tasks that needs to be done that we need to get to the Bureau as quickly as possible. But I guess, I'm sorry, I kind of went off base. But yeah, fundamentally, I think the practical reason why that land won't go into trust, unless there's a viable project, is you can't borrow the money to buy it.
Thank you.
Answer the question the same way the question's been answered every time it's been asked. It's not the answer to the question that I'm looking for. I'm talking about the specific timelines, approvals, financing, $40 million, $50 million, $5 million, whatever it is, when it kicks in, when it initiates the land into trust, what is the final mechanism where you realize at that point you made a mistake, it's not feasible, or someone else made a mistake, it's not feasible. Can we get it back out of trust at that point? What's the absolute, what initiates it, what solidifies it? Well, let's put it this way, right? Land goes into trust, earnest money on a sale. That money's going to go hard at some point in time. What are the mechanisms that cause it? When can I back out? When can I say, keep my $40 million, we'll take the land back out of trust? All of that. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. But I think he answered that from the land will not go into trust
to get the money
unless they've got the whole project financed, because they're not going to get money for, they're not going to get $40 million for land unless there's a project there. Mm-hmm. So
after it goes haywire, I'm not suggesting it will. I'm trying to play out the scenarios.
No, no.
After there's a problem, if it's only $20 million and we think that's doable because now you've got a developer, someone who came with the money, and it's all, so you initiate it, and then there's a problem.
Well, I think fundamentally, and this has been the situation from the beginning when these agreements were negotiated, nothing's changed. Fundamentally, when land is placed in trust, it is difficult to get land out of trust.
Right. You need an act of Congress. Why I'm asking the question.
And that has, I mean, that's, I guess it's a fundamental of this whole deal and has been since it was originally discussed.
All right, so part of the question was protection for the county, protection for the taxpayers, that there isn't a point of no return where we have land in trust and no project, regardless of who loses how much. Again, I will be as supportive as I've always been if I have the comfort level. Why am I not comfortable? I don't know. 9 years in, I'm just not. That's what it boils down to. I recognize that you know, you didn't come here to hear that, but that's what it boils down to. We're going to talk about, as soon as I let everyone else speak, I think Dennis had his hand up. I'm going to give you some real solid advice for the presentation you make to the county board. It isn't the one you made here again this evening. Supervisor Noble.
Well, a couple things. I mean, obviously, you have a lot of passion for this project, and I've got to believe that the federal government, to some degree, I think is, can't believe you're still hanging in there. I mean, you're probably, they probably are amazed that you're still in there. Honestly, I think they're going to throw up a lot more roadblocks on you than you expect. From what I heard tonight, you know, you're working on a shoestring. They know it. You've admitted it. You've admitted that you aren't going to be able to bring it home unless you get a developer. You don't have a developer. I think when the Mohegan pulled out, that probably most people would have given up. You know, most people, probably the federal government, would have expected that you would have given up at that point. And you didn't. And I admire you for that, but I actually don't think it looks too good for you. My opinion is, if you ask me privately, I think what your chances are, I don't think they're very good. So my question then is, our Corporation Counsel, first of all, do you agree with his opinion as far as going into trust?
Well, I've got some questions.
I have several points I'd like Frank to bring up. If you want
okay,
to do it
no,
now, we can't.
Oh, wait. I have another. We can come back to that. I get that. Then the other question is do we have to do the entire 3 years? It sounds like if they can get a developer on board in the next 90 days, if they can get this environmental impact study going in the next 90 days, if they, you know, a lot of things sounds like they're going to be way more prepared in 90 days. So then, but I have to also say that I've fought that before. This time, I'm going to say, it sounds like you're going to be way more prepared in 90 days. Is it a problem to bring a resolution forward for another 90 days? It doesn't. When's it end right now? December 31st.
I would have, had I known this is where we were going to be, 90 days later.
Yeah.
I would have done 3 years in the first place. Because it's. It would have been easier, and we'd be in the same position we are in currently. Therein lies part of my frustration.
Well, I mean, I haven't had that question answered. Is there?
You could do the
You could. Just one.
I think Frank's probably going to answer my questions. My questions were on the trust. I know that our initial IGA spells that all out. And, you know, I don't have that in front of me, but I remember land going into trust, it was explained in great detail when we signed all these original agreements. And I, just hearing the explanation this evening, kind of figured we don't have to worry about that land being tied up. I know Supervisor Rose is very worried about somebody else wanting to develop that land. But nobody's going to give the Menominees just $40 million. You know, they're going to want to know the scope of the whole project before anybody. So I don't think we have to worry about the trust issue right now as far as the land. That's Frank's probably got a lot more to say about the IGA. There's, I'll wait to hear some answers.
I have a quick question, too. Going back to what Supervisor Clark had said about the building, on here from Mr. Erickson, it talks about a temporary facility. And if you start this temporary facility and all of a sudden you don't have the revenue coming in that you thought you were going to, so you don't get the future funding for the next phase, then what happens? Then we just have a temporary facility sitting there, and for how long?
The temporary facility was part of the existing application, so that's not anything new. Part of the reason, and that was a debate at the time when we were doing the application of doing a temporary facility, and the reason why we did it is because it would generate revenue, and we would be able to start capturing revenue off that facility right away as we continue to construct. So just based on, and I'm a previous gaming manager, I did our facility for 7 years and responsible for three phases of development at our current site. And once you do a temporary facility and you start revenue generating, that's why you do it, because it helps you move on. So based on my experience, and it may not mean anything, but based on my experience, we would be able to continue on. So I don't see us not being able to move on with the facility. And I apologize. The last 15 days have been hell.
Tony.
Lori, the temporary facility is the existing building.
Right.
Right, but if they couldn't sustain it as a dog track where people were supposed to go and bet,
that's different.
It's not the same thing.
I understand that, but there just aren't that many gamblers in Kenosha County.
Oh,
I don't.
Oh. You haven't gone. Yeah.
Really?
Well, let's not get into that, because obviously there's you're not drawing from the county. It's a regional draw. It's a much larger draw than that,
and it happens this fast.
Yep.
Instead of waiting 18 minutes for a race, you have a $20 bill. Where'd it go?
Gone.
All right. I want to get to Corp Council if I can. I know you got Michael and Eckernus both have questions you want to ask about.
Well, it's just briefly, it's statements. I respect what you've done, the investment, the time you've put into this. But the problem I think we're going to know within a year, clearly. 3 years, I think that would be pushing it too far. I think within the year, because you get everything done at regional, get everything DC. We still got to go back to Madison. And we all know what's going on in Madison right now. We don't know who the governor is going to be, what the governor is, or,
sure.
And that's the big hurdle. And you still have our friends in Milwaukee who really don't want Kenosha to have a casino. I mean, and they're gonna still They're going to put up a wall, and they're going to have people in Madison, and they're going to have people in D.C. that you're going to be fighting against. I mean, this whole project, I mean, it's sad, and, I mean, you are, it's tough.
Your original project included running the dog track along with the gaming. The dog track has been out of business now for some time. How does that impact your application? I think it would be foolish to bring back the racing. I spent 10 years there.
You never won a race.
Never bet on a race, actually. Are you going to be required to resurrect?
Too slow.
No.
Okay. The revenue portion of dog racing compared to the revenue is tiny.
Well, I know why it was done is because they didn't want those people to lose their jobs.
Right.
And now they've lost them anyway. So, but it'd be foolish to bring it back given the state of dog racing in the country.
Right. Just to recap a little bit, I don't have a file on this. I have a file cabinet. So I couldn't bring everything with me here tonight. And I know at one point early on I had sent to the tribe a list of questions. And I think those encompass the scope of what the committee and the county board is looking for. It included not just the scope of the project and the environmental impact statement and the financing, but also the projected net wind, construction costs, the development of the beacon. I don't know quite exactly to what extent, if any, they are still involved. There was the issue of the Potawatomis, the roads you've already talked about, the cessation of gaming. You also talked a little bit about the land going into trust and the fact that you would need to get financing for it, and you wouldn't get the financing unless it was a viable project. I'm assuming somewhere in there's a contingency, otherwise you're stuck with a chicken or the egg situation. I'm the financer, and I'm going to approve your project because I think it's viable, but I don't know if you have trust status yet. If you have trust status, then you take it to the financing. Maybe you get it, maybe you don't, but you can't get out of the trust. So I don't know if that's a problem with the committee, but maybe that's just something that you need to explain to me. The other thing that I'm having a problem with is the fact that, if I understood you correctly, the regional office in Minnesota now has this ball in their court. And they are supposed to have some information and make some decisions and recommendations to Washington, D.C. in the middle of January.
Correct.
And I would think, and I don't recall if I ever saw the actual application for the original venture here, but I would think that the regional office would want to know the answers to these very questions before they made a recommendation. Is this viable? Do you have a potential for financing? Do you have, what is the construction cost? Clearly they've gone up, I would assume they've gone up over the last 5 years. Maybe they've tanked, I don't know. And the projected net wind. What is the effect of the new Chicago casino going to be on this project? All of these, I think, are the issues that this committee wants specific answers to. And if that's going to be provided to the regional office in Minnesota without even the county board or the city council being apprised as to what's going on in terms of the scope, we can talk about scope and projections and wishes and whatnot, but it's Chairman Molinaro has said, you know, at some point the rubber meets the road here, and you know, wishful thinking is one thing, and reality is another. Is the scope, if you're going to phase it in, what does that affect? How does that affect your net win? How does that factor into
the fact that you now don't have as much money coming in, and now you need to go to phase two, but you don't have that revenue stream. I mean, and I'm sure there's answers to all these questions, but I think these are some of the questions that the committee is asking. You've talked about a consultant here. Quite honestly, I don't know who it is and what that person's qualifications are. And I think that that's important. In listening to the presentation and understanding that there's been a lack of communication, maybe I'm, you know, not to blame anybody, because I don't think that's what anybody is here for tonight, to point the finger, pass blame or anything. But it would seem to me that if the county board and the city council want answers to these questions, you need a presence at the table with the BIA. And you need to know what's going on, what they want, when they want it, when they're going to make a decision. When the tribe meets with the BIA, I think the city and the county need to be there and to get the answers. And maybe the city and the county and the tribe need to meet on a regular basis, not with a committee, but maybe with some members of this committee, some members of the executive staff, and other staff, to keep this thing moving and going so that there is something that can be presented to the county board as a whole in terms of where things are at. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels, I think, in terms of what everybody is looking for and what everybody wants. We were supposed to have a meeting in October. I don't know if the tribe fell down on it or if the county and the city fell down and then scheduled it or whatever. I don't remember what happened. I don't remember the day we met at Kemper. I know I've got it back at the office. But if this thing needs to move forward, I think those are some things that maybe you want to consider. Then again, maybe you don't, but those are my thoughts on it. I think you want to know what's going on before Minnesota does, and you need to be satisfied that this is not going to be a parking lot with a wheat patch in it in the next 10 years. That what's being proposed isn't just a lot of wishful thinking, but something that you can really grab onto and say, well, okay, this is a plan, and let's go forward.
I was under the impression we did set up a committee, myself and Supervisor Clark, where the county representatives, two from the city, regardless of why the meetings did or didn't take place, that was the group that should have been routinely aware of what transpired every step of the way, what was upcoming, answers to the questions, and it hasn't happened. So I recognize that, if we're putting you off, that is our responsibility, but as the developer of this project, it resides in your court. Mr. Olson, to your point, if you're sitting back waiting for a response from the county executive and the mayor, then, an email to myself and the council president to shake these guys up. Here's what we need to do. You asked for this. The only way we can respond is if county and the city step up and answer the questions we return to you. I would have done it. I wasn't aware we were still sitting waiting for that. So that's where we need to be if this is going to continue to go forward.
There was one other thing that
I don't have a problem meeting quarterly on this, if that's what we need to do, the committee we have set up. Schedule a date. If not everyone can be at the table, not everyone can be at the table. That's the way it works.
There was one other thing I wanted to mention. We had asked for a review by outside counsel, and I have not shared this with anyone, but I think that maybe it would be appropriate to mention this. They make a comment here. They had reviewed or taken note of the fact that there had been a couple of off-reservation applications that had been approved or denied by the BIA. Two of them apparently were approved, one was denied.
With respect to the one that was denied, this was their comment. The Jimenez decision presents a serious challenge to the Menominee request. Both requests involve land that is quite far away from the tribe's reservation. 293 miles for Jimenez and 170 miles for Menominee. As a result, the Menominee request is likely to fall under the same scrutiny as Jimenez. And I'm not going to take time to go through the entire opinion, but my recollection of it is that one of the things that was a concern was the fact that in this one application with the Jimenez tribe, their intergovernmental agreement was fairly close to what the county city.
Time to get up, Frank.
Nobody ever
is that, is that the intergovernmental agreements were somewhat similar. And that's why he was making this comment. And one of the things that they found lacking in the Jimenez case was the fact that there was not a tribal presence. It was okay if you, and you probably know this better than I do, John, but the fact was that, yeah, you could have an off-reservation casino, but there had to be more of a tribal presence there. So if that's the case, if they're going to have a Menominee Police Department on the grounds, Menominee Fire Department on the grounds, and things of that sort, condominiums for tribal members or whatever, all of that, I think, is part of the scope of the project, and it needs to, at least somebody at the county and the city needs to be made aware of that.
Can I just address a couple things? I mean, one thing, that Jimenez decision, I mean, I think we sent it to you when it came out, with pointing out the fact that it raises certain concerns because the IGAs are similar. We sent it to the city just so you were aware, you know, this is an issue. We, in regard to one of the things we needed to update with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, one of them was governmental power, which is, in essence, what they're talking about in the Jimenez decision. And that's one of the things that we spent a significant amount of time on and have provided an update on, pointing out both how the IGAs differed and other facts surrounding the difference between Wisconsin, the technical things being a public law 280 state, New Mexico not being a public law 280 state, but in essence about a 12 or 13 page discussion of why this isn't going to be an issue. And that was, you know, it's not just me writing it. It's
why it's not going to be an issue. Excuse me, for you,
why the Bureau, it should not be. I'm sorry. The reason that they use that as a reason to deny Jimenez,
okay,
doesn't it shouldn't be a reason to deny this project.
Okay.
And so, I think that's, you know, that's right. I mean, it was the first thing we said when we looked at the decision. This is a problem. We talked about it with the Bureau. We had our attorneys in Washington, D.C. deal with it. Rory Dillwig, who you guys have met before, who's out of California, is an outside counsel. So that's one of the things we spent some significant time. We think that we have that covered. You know, the issue about condominiums, you know, we can't build condominiums there. It would violate the intergovernmental agreement. There are certain things we can do on that property. The tribe has passed ordinances that say how that land will be used. And this is a key. This didn't happen in the Jimenez case. The Jimenez had the local ordinances applied directly, which causes a problem. Whereas we have passed tribal ordinances, but then we have attached them as exhibits to the IGA to say, if we don't enforce our ordinances, it's not the county or city, you can enforce them directly, that causes a governmental power problem. But we're in violation of the IGA, and all the tools that are there to enforce the IGA kick in. So I think it's good to point out that Jimenez case, but it's certainly something that we've worked on. We think we have covered, and although, and I would apologize personally regarding any lack of communication, because a lot of that falls on me from the tribe, so that may very well be my fault. On this specific issue, I think we very quickly made the city and county aware that Jimenez decision was sitting out there, and some of the issues that raised in regard to the IGA.
Did you send me a copy of that?
Yeah, I sent you a copy of the the actual letter that the BIA wrote to
him. No, I'm talking about the analysis that said that there's not going to be a problem.
No, but yes. That's something we can share.
Go ahead, Supervisor.
With that, did your letter basically, or your 13 pages, distinguish the two cases, your case from theirs? Did the Bureau of Indian Affairs respond to yours, or once the 13 pages, what, you made it, you sent it, did they respond, or what did you receive?
So that's part of the list of items that we need to update. This was one of them.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of the items that we're updating, it's not much of an update. I mean, things haven't changed. It doesn't take, they've already looked at it, and they've already made a decision, so it's not a whole lot of new analysis. This is.
Okay.
So that's why we tried to get it to them quickly, so that they could still meet their time of mid-January where they would make their decision on it. It's possible that they would contact us with questions about it, but that's not always how they work. All I can say is that we believe that we've covered it.
Yeah, but if I had that, I could send that to our attorneys in D.C. I'd like to get their comment from Facebook.
I mean, it's up to the tribe. I personally don't have an issue. I don't think there's anything in there that is being in public would be a difficult thing. But, because in essence what it is going through the IGA and talking about how it's distinguished. And some certain things about the Menominee tribe. For instance, 700 tribal members living within a commutable distance, even though that's a guidance issue, but that goes to the point of connections with the land that the Menominee tribe runs transportation. Its own transportation department runs buses to Chicago, Milwaukee, that the Menominee tribe has an official community recognized by ordinance in the city of Chicago, which is even farther away, that participates in tribal government. These are all distinguishing features over and above some things we distinguish in regard to the specific IGA provision. Mm-hmm.
That's good information to have. Mm-hmm.
In fact, we drove that may want to be a bullet point. Transportation vehicles down here tonight.
Maybe that's a bullet point in your presentation. We're going to wrap up the discussion and go on to the next item here in a minute. A report, I should say. Supervisor Eckert.
On the issue of at what point does the land go into trust? Now, the BIA has got to make a decision on your application, and if they should approve your application, then it goes directly to the governor?
Yes, it goes to the governor for concurrence.
And if the governor concurs in it, does that mean it's in trust, or does the sale have to go through?
John?
So technically, what happens is, so let's say the BIA approves it, sends it to the governor. So they make two decisions, the BIA does. One that's a general, the way they handle all land in a trust for Indian tribes. We refer to it as the 151 process. They make that decision. Then they make this special decision about gaming, Section 20 we call it. That Section 20 has to go to the governor. Let's say the governor concurs. It goes back to the federal government. They need to publish in the Federal Register, we intend to take this land into trust after 30 days. Once that 30 days has come up, they have the authority to take the land into trust. But the way land goes into trust is you deed it to the United States. So if we don't have it, if we don't either own it ourselves because we've exercised the option and then deed it, or somehow structure the exercise of the option that the current landholders deed it directly, it's not in trust until it's deeded to the United States. And technically, they then sign off that they've accepted it in trust, although that's really more of a formality. That they do that. So
I don't expect that Harold's going to deed it to the government unless he's got his money.
Well, that's correct. Right.
So unless he's paid, it isn't in trust.
Correct.
So if you're not able to get the money to pay him and start the project, it don't go into trust.
Right, but the fact that if you would gain those approvals is huge for
right.
what you want.
I understand
to do on
that.
Property.
I mean yeah. Everything rises and falls on the approvals,
yeah.
but the concern, if you get the approvals, you probably have all kinds of people wanting to become
yeah.
part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But
that would be
but
the case.
Concern about whether or not it's in trust, it wouldn't be in trust until it's bought and paid for, and then transferred
Yep.
Okay. So we're sneaking up on one answer after another here. It's going to turn out to be one hell of a productive evening. I want that, again, addressed somehow. I don't recall page one, let alone page 200 of the IGA, so I'm not here to tell you that I know every aspect of the IGA, but I don't recall specifically addressing the issue of, or the deed process in there. If it isn't, let's clarify that. That is exactly what I'm looking for, because you can very simply tie some type of amendment or attachment or sign letter relative to that process, to this whole scenario.
I'm just going to be brief. I'm going to just reiterate. I don't know how this is going to shake out or how we're going to go down, but I want to know, when you get the financial analysis, what the magnitude of the investment is initially in the scope of the project. And you, when you get to that point, you're going to have the financial impact as well. So we know what you are initially going to do. You'll have an idea of what money we're going to be able to borrow. You'll have a financial analysis based on what your projected net win is. And that will also drive how much you're going to invest into the project. I think that's very important.
And I intend to touch on that and provide a little bit of direction to the group here to, on what I would hope you'll present to the county board. Again, it'll be my advice. You can take it or leave it. I want to wrap up the... I will not cut you off. When I say you, I'm talking about the four members here representing the tribe. I will not cut you off from the discussion. I'll keep this as open. My point is, if we get into these other two action or three action items on here, you know, technically I could shut the door to conversation. I will not do that, but I want to make sure we're moving through this agenda, if that's all right. So I'm going at 8:17, Linda. 8:17, we'll move on to discussion regarding Menominee Indian Nation reimbursement of county attorney fees and proposals to address response to future cessation of Indian gaming. Which I'm not quite clear on the second part, Frank, so you'll have to let me know what you're looking for.
That
there.
Second part I did send to tribal council, Mr. Pahomi, proposed language from our outside council. He just got that yesterday, so I don't know if he and or the tribe or tribal legislature, whoever's making the decisions, had an opportunity to respond to it. With respect to the attorney fees, there was a counter proposal to have the county pay its own fees in the event that the project was successful, which we believe, and get some contribution if it was not successful. I think that was the way it was intended to go.
That's correct.
That's all I have.
So I trust you are not looking for a resolution on the. I'm sorry.
No, it was just for discussion.
Both for discussion. Let me, certainly we can't discuss the future cessation of Indian gaming issue on the committee very intelligently, as we don't have the document either, correct?
Linda, do we send it to everybody?
BIA?
No, not the BIA.
No,
I
don't think so.
I don't see
it.
That's
all I forgot.
Yeah. While you're looking for that, let me back up to the attorney's fees. Frank is correct. I've said all along that it's my belief, based on where this is at, what we're doing, where it's been, that the county should not have to foot the bill. The answer back from the tribe was that was not something they would entertain. Counteroffer was exactly as it was put by Frank, which was, if the project is successful, it's a win all the way around. The county will cover its own costs. If it is not, then the tribe will reimburse the county. I fully appreciate Supervisor Clark's point. However, I would argue that we don't create economic development funds previously, now, or in the future to cover legal fees putting together a project, nor would any of us at the table, I would hope, say to any developer who comes forward forget 9 years, let's say 4 years later, that it is good economic sense to continue to pour, not pour, to put money into a proposed project. Again, I recognize it sounds disrespectful, not my intent, but currently, as things sit right now, you simply don't have the ability to do this project. So if I have someone else coming forward to do a project, you know, and my point is until you find a development partner, I think you've said that tonight yourselves. So if there's someone else coming forward that wants to do an $8 million job, let alone a project, and let alone an $800 million, and they can't support an $8 million project, I would suspect the county isn't going to entertain a conversation with them to cover costs out of pocket over a course of 2, 3, 4 years, whatever the number might be. At some point in time, we would say it simply isn't, you know, a good decision as public leaders to continue to do that. That is where I'm at with it. So I know that is a hardship for the developer in this case, but I don't know how to split that any differently. It's a tough spot. That's where I'm at with it. That has been the proposal. I don't know that we've ever gotten a response back on the counteroffer. If the committee wants to weigh in on that discussion, at this point in time, there's no change. Nothing has changed. Supervisor Overman.
Supervisor Clark touched on it a little bit with the, and I know it's through the economic development fund that we've done the past 2 years through CAVA, but we've also invested with CAVA on their general revolving fund basis every year since I've been around, since CAVA's been around. We were prepared to give Chrysler $5 million, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago. We've done revamping of the highway for Gordon Foods and then turned the highways over to the city. So we've invested money in proposals that we thought were going to bring fruits to Kenosha County. It might take a while to bring these fruits to Kenosha County. But I don't think this is anything new. The attorney's fees at this point have not been astronomical for what this development could turn out to be. So I don't find the attorney's fees to be a deal breaker for me. I think that we haven't done attorney's fees for people, but we've done numerous financial upgrades for highways, infrastructure, and we've made offers that we haven't, as I said, the Chrysler thing that didn't come through for us, but we were certainly prepared to do, and that's where I think the initial $1 million came for this development fund last year. So I don't have a problem with the attorney's fees. I am still disturbed of the lack of communication that I've heard here this evening. I'm really puzzled as to how an alpha as sophisticated as the BIA is going to take this proposal that's supposedly going to be done in, 40 days, without the Menominees having a company prepared to do it yet. I'm hoping that the Menominees don't expect the BIA to accept a letter like this one that we got this evening. So the attorney's fees, I don't have a problem with. I'm still very much on board and have been with this whole project. I'm very concerned what type of product they're going to get in Minnesota. I understand that there's been financial restrictions, but wow, with 40 days left, I don't know how you'd even have time to get it together. In fact, could somebody answer me that? How are you going to do it in 40 days?
Well, I think the one portion of it, so there's a lot of parts of it, but the one portion of it I think you're referencing really gets down to these, I don't say new, updated revenue projections, which then everything flows through from that in regard to business plan.
That's what I'm asking about.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned before, we had hoped to have had a contract with, we had hoped to have PwC do it, and they couldn't do it for various reasons. I think the tribe is close to entering into a contract. They have a few groups that are have proposals in front of them. And it's part of it is trying to get them to be able to do it within the time period that we're talking about. I think the one, at least the one I was involved in that I saw, would have pushed it into January before they said they could be done. We're looking to get it done by the end of December. So it's that is the environmental part of it, which is also a big part, that is, we feel, is on track.
Well, that's a lot easier.
Well, it's $100,000.
Well, cost-wise, but I mean, that's the same. The environmental impact is the environmental impact. But you're looking at all new numbers on the center.
Well, and like I said, and the key, you know, the way these guys do these is population circles, looking at, you know, what the new potential competition might be. It's number crunching. It's not too much field work. So, you know, you're right. That is the one time thing that is the most that's causing us the most causing me the most worry about getting this to them by the end of January. Now, just to point out, our goal is to get it to them by the end of January. They've committed that if we get this in time, they can get it to DC by January 15th. It's in everybody's interest to do it as quickly as possible. But it's not if you don't turn it in on January 1st. You're done. It's not that, but nevertheless, the goal is to get everything done as quickly as possible. So that's the one that it's difficult. It's easy for us. That's not easy, but it's easy to say the environmental will be done because we have a contract in place. They've already done over a third of the work based on what they've billed us, and they say they're on track to get it done, and the Bureau's on track to do it. This other one is more difficult because we don't have the signed contract yet. So I understand that, and. But the other issues that need to be updated aren't as, we're very confident that can be done in the time period we're talking about. It's this particular one that we are concerned about and trying to get it on board as soon as possible.
That's all I have.
Frank, it appears you have some heartburn.
Again, it sounds like you're going to submit projected revenues to the BIA from someone whom the county has no knowledge of the person's qualifications or the methodology that was used, the legitimacy of their numbers, without any county input prior to it going to the BIA in the middle of January. I don't understand how a committee of the county board or the county board itself could accept those numbers without knowing who they're coming from and what their qualifications and credentials are.
Mm-hmm. But Frank, don't you think the Bureau of Indian Affairs is going to require that it be done by a legitimate firm? Because the numbers are for the Bureau, correct?
And there's a handful of these firms that do these types of things. And
you want to trust the federal government?
Well, you know, I guess from that standpoint, you know, and I'll play the other side of the argument. If I guess where I've been all night here is, if the developer's going to come to us with a proposal, it's all going to be done up front. They're going to present it to the county. We can choose to take exception, accept, or deny, right?
So, well, so there's one difference though. When a private developer comes to the county and falls flat on its face, the land is not in trust. It goes back on the tax roll eventually. Here, this is a permanent thing. This is forever.
I understand it.
And to some extent, that gets back to, let's say we gave the BIA some we made up, you know, not via some legitimate third-party group. And let's say the BIA says, yeah, what do we care? We'll accept that. The question you have to ask yourself, is a bank going to accept that? Because they're the ones who are going to loan the money. And I don't think they're going to loan it on John Wilhelmy wrote something out in longhand. The BIA said it looks great. It's just not the way it's going to work.
All right, I want to stay a little bit on task here anyways, which is the discussion on the reimbursement of attorney's fees and discussion on the cessation of gaming language, which I believe I've seen at least a draft of this before.
Right. I forwarded it to you when I first got it from the outside council.
Right. And this has been sent to the tribe as of yesterday.
Yes. I don't know if you've got a chance to look at it.
All right. So on those two topics, if we can.
Just briefly, regarding the attorney's fees, I feel sorry for the tribe. Nothing that they did caused these attorney's fees. Basically, the federal government, and it's somewhat ironic that earlier in this meeting we talked about the attorney fees that the county has occurred due to the fact the city of Kenosha. I mean, that's a case where we had stupidity that we should have never gone to court, and we ended up with these. I have no idea what the fees are, but it sounds like it's going to be a large sum of money. And we never sought attorney's fees or anything from the city. So I think it's somewhat ironic that here we're going to say to a developer that they should be responsible for these fees that are indirectly caused by the federal government. So, I mean, it's something I just think that it's part of doing business, and it's a unique case. They didn't cause these fees, and I think it will pay off. So I would feel the same as Supervisor Clark and Supervisor Elverman that, you know, this is a different, we invest in businesses, and to some degree it's an investment that we would be making.
Anyone else? Frank?
I just want to ask a quick question of the tribe. The first go-around when the city had retained Marie Tempora, who paid those fees?
All right. Anyone on the issue of cessation of gaming? Supervisor Noel?
Not sure what the issue is, but I think I've read that before, and my recollection is I read it in the, some of that language is in the original.
Yes, I remember the supervisor who raised an issue about cessation of gaming, but somebody did. And I think I got some language from you. I forwarded it to Perkins Coie, D.C., and they responded with that amendment.
Where's the amendment? The first paragraph I remember is on the...
Yes, I believe it's the after the first paragraph. I
don't think we've heard amendment.
Well, that's an issue. I mean, that's a question. I mean, there were portions of the IGA, which I think you alluded to earlier, that we thought that perhaps should be renegotiated on behalf of the county and the tribe itself began some portions. So this was a counter proposal to a tribal proposal.
So maybe I can shed a little bit of light.
Yes.
So the first part of that is what's in the IGA. And then there's a second third of it is something that we drafted as a proposal to address some of the city or county's issues a while back. And then the third part of it's kind of new, I guess, from Perkins and Coie or from whoever.
Right.
I can't speak, you know, fully for the tribe here, but I've had a chance to look at it. And I talked to outside counsel for the tribe on it. We don't have a whole lot of heartburn about it. It really talks about working together to make sure there's something in this gaming ceases, you know, working together to make sure it still works for everybody. And so the only, I guess, concern I would have is the concern that's with everything. Every time you change something and you send it to the Bureau, it's another new thing for them to look at. But from a perspective of whether it's detrimental to the tribe, I don't believe it is. So I think it's something we could probably live with.
Do both our in-house counsel for both sides, outside counsel for both sides, believe that what I see to be a little bit of a tightening up, clarification, further explanation of a situation or of a clause like this in the IGA, is this an entire reopener from the BIA standpoint?
I don't view it any differently than what we're doing with extending the date of the agreement. There's a provision in the agreement itself that says this agreement will expire, or whatever it was. And we've extended it. So we've, in effect, modified the agreement already. And I don't think that this is a no-breaker or something that's going to cause it to be a whole lot of heartburn at the BIA. But.
Yeah, so, I mean, I tend to agree. My view is it doesn't cause heartburn for the tribe, you know, agreeing to this. We believe that it works for everybody. I'm just generally naturally concerned with the beer about anything. And you know, you could view this in the light of that Hemez decision that I kind of talked about before about governmental power. Although, quite honestly, our outside counsel didn't really feel that was going to be an issue on that end. So, you know, I think that it's possible it causes problems with the Bureau, but anything's possible to cause a problem with the Bureau. And generally, from a tribal standpoint, we don't have a whole lot of problem with the way that's written. Like I said, a third of it's already in there. A third we actually presented as a potential language, and then there's the last part that's kind of new.
All right. Any other in this decision or direction to Corporation Counsel or staff?
My opinion, first of all, the attorney fees, I'm agreeing with Dennis and Bill, but I'm okay with that. It's not a deal breaker if you pay our own attorney fees. As far as the cessation, I guess I'm going to we can, if we're going to do the extension, just make this as part of the extension. Call it a clarification. You know, I mean, like you said, we're already extending, we're changing the date, we're technically changing the contract, so we can incorporate this as part of the language of extension, right?
Yes.
Could do that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Has the city attorney reviewed that and agreed to this?
Not that I'm aware.
Not to worry, we'll do their work for them. They just have to
send them a bill.
They would have to contact their outside counsel.
Yeah. They're just going to copy whatever the hell we do anyways. Laura, you had
a... Lisa and I had a chance to look at this, and we as two of the nine are okay with it. You know, our initial concern, too, was how would the BIA look at it. We do meet tomorrow night. We will have to take it back. They would have not have seen this. We just got this revision. So, but the fact that our outside counsel looked at it, and John have, and we, you know, we're okay with it. If we want to put into the extension amendment, we will.
Vice Chairman Eckernes.
Yeah, I see this a little different than changing the date. The date, changing the date is expected if you're going to be extending it, but you're materially changing some language within the contract, and I have a concern that the bureaucrats at that end could seize on that kind of a change as a reason to study it for an extended period of time, and I'd worry about I'd just as soon not give them anything to have angst over, whether it's real or imagined.
Well, then my question would be then, if you're going to change the scope, clearly the scope is part of the IGA. I mean, we had attachments of the land use plan or the site plan and all of that. So, and that's, I guess, you're getting to the core question here. At some point, when you find out what the net win is, when you find out what the revenues are going to be, find out what the construction costs are, and you find out about the scope, and it's made, and there's a determination made, and everybody agrees to it, that the scope of this project is going to go down, or maybe it's going to expand. I mean, I don't know. Something's going to change on it. All of that is part of the the intergovernmental agreement. Are we going to sit down with the tribe? As you've indicated, that there are some concerns that the tribe, that the county has, some concerns that the tribe has. Will there be a side letter? Will there be a modification? I don't think there's anything in the IGA that says we can't agree to modify it. Is there? Can we call?
Well, no. That's what we've been doing. Every time we've extended, it's an amendment.
Yeah, I mean, it's
right.
It's really
basically resubmitting an application, and if you want to make an amendment, this is the time to do it.
Well, I would just say we're not resubmitting an application, because if we're resubmitting an application, we'd be doing a whole new scoping process with the EIS, that sort of thing. Our goal is to have as few changes as possible. That's all that's been our goal. And so, you know, I have the same fear with the federal government. I guess to allay that fear somewhat, this is a small part of the idea. the cessation of gaming. And quite honestly, the biggest part of that is that the tribe will make every effort, including petitioning the federal government, to have the land taken out of trust. That is the provision that, you know, could cause problems with the Bureau, but that we agreed to that. And it didn't cause a problem when they reviewed it the first time. So that's, I guess, my view on it.
Okay. 8:40, I want to jump to number 7. Supervisor Clark indicated he's going to go shortly. I'd like to wrap this up as well. I'm going to jump to number 7 so we can at least get a sense before anyone has to depart what we're talking about for a potential extension here. So I'll open that up for discussion amongst the committee. There's nothing specific before us. Is that correct, Frank?
Well,
the tribe is asking for 3 years.
Are we talking about the extension, or are we on number?
No, I'm on number. I jumped on a number 7. We'll come back. We'll come back to 6.
Okay.
Unless you think there's some mitigating circumstance to take them in order.
I've got a resolution. It does not have the extension agreement attached, and it's simply I changed it a little bit to reflect the intent of the parties pertaining to the continuous. No, I'm sorry.
Our current one,
the extension of the I've asked that all of the IGAs, there are 3 of them, be extended, and then it be referenced in the extension agreement that all the parties that are signing it agree to extend all of them. And I did not put a term in there. I said per the term by the attached agreement. So we had a problem in the past because some of the extensions have been for 90 days, some of them have been for 3 months. And sometimes 3 months isn't 90 days.
Right.
And that's caused a problem. So I want to clear that up and just say the intent has been to have a continuous, uninterrupted term for this agreement. That's what this resolution says.
But are you suggesting you don't want to put a sunset date on
it? What that says is we agreed to extend per the attached agreement.
And the attached agreement will have a date.
We'll have a date in it. And I think it's whatever it's going to be. I think this one goes now, I don't remember if it's December 28th or December 29th, but I think we want to be clear, first of all, that whatever we've done in the past, our intent has been to have it run continuously and uninterrupted. And secondly, whatever your extension is, if it's 3 months, 6 months.
All right. Whatever. Committee on the issue of extension.
I don't agree with 3 years. I think that's, I mean, I'm not going to be on the board for 3 years, but I mean, I could see it for a year. I mean, by then we know what the president, we know what, I mean, I think we would know within a year if this is going to fly or not. I don't think the tribe is going to continue to dump money into this. I think they'd have to go to their constituents, and I think we need to put a date out there for our constituents to say, you know, because I don't want us to be the laughing stock that this has gone on for 9 years and, you know, here it is and we just have meetings and nothing's really getting accomplished. I think, you know, it's time to sink or swim.
Supervisor Brody.
I agree with Supervisor Michael, but I think we ought to put in there that they have to do mandatory updates every quarter. I mean, we shouldn't have to be begging them to come in and see us all the time.
Supervisor Clark.
I would make a motion that we approve this resolution and the expiration date be December 31st, 2012, and that we, by amendment, incorporate the cessation of gaming into that.
I'd second.
By Clark, seconded by Michael, to extend to December 31st, 2012, and include by amendment or attachment the cessation of gaming language as presented. What about the quarterly reports?
I don't know if that can be part of the language.
I don't think that needs to be part of the resolution. I think we'll make that clear, and I trust we'll have that cooperation. On the question, I'm going to make a comment. I'm going to give the tribe an opportunity to respond to that date. My comment is this. I've listened to the conversation. We'll have to get something done quickly ahead of the election. I guess I'm just a downer here this evening because I'm going to say I think the election's already got us screwed up I am hard-pressed to think less than a year to the next, to the general election for new president that we're going to see an approval before that. I'd love to see this happen as quickly as you believe it's going to happen. My point is this. If I am right, it isn't going to happen before then. December 31st, 2012, we will either need to be looking at another extension or kill the deal ahead of allowing whomever the next president is going to be to weigh in on. So if that's the case, I think you need to look at a minimum, mid-year 2013. Recognizing I'm the guy who came in here tonight saying I'm not taking it to the county board. So, you know, the maker of the motion, the second, I want to give that some consideration. Vice Chairman Eckers.
I would move to amend the motion to say June 30th, 2013.
That's it. All right, we have a motion and an amendment to the original motion.
Which is, I'm okay with friendly amendments. I don't have to vote on the amendment.
Bill?
That's fine.
All right. John or Lori?
Well, I was just thinking, and you know, I appreciate the discussion here. Our current option goes to March of 2013. That's the current option.
Are
so
you
I think
purchasing the property?
Yeah.
Is
that?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So I think that, you know, one of the goals was to always try to keep the two moving together with the same dates, and you know, it may be less. It may be a year. We really don't know. But I think if I think definitely June, we're past the option. So I think if you're a year, I'm grateful that it's more than the 90 days what we've been doing. But I think that if you're looking at possibly doing a longer term, if you run it to the same time.
Well, seriously, so back it off a little bit.
Yeah.
Well,
because we went to our June of 2013, you expire in March of
March of 2013, we would expire.
You want us to shorten it up? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm just saying if it's versus a year versus June, and you fall back to the year, I guess I'm.
No, we're 18 months.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I have to apologize. I am so tired. I've had a hellish week. So the last 15 days, because I am the one taking all the heat.
Yeah, sure.
And then to come in and kind of get it again, and I'm very passionate about it. I have been. And you know, I got 2 months, and I know I'm not going to have an answer by the time I'm done. So I apologize for the emotion.
I appreciate the emotion. And I think you see the same thing for me. It's not because I just feel like hammering you tonight. It really isn't.
And it's like the third time this week I've been hammered. So, I apologize. I try not to do this.
I guess I'm confused now because I was under the impression you wanted 3 years. Yet if your option expires in March of 13.
Well, the option would have expired in 2006 if it had never been extended. So. The current option agreement we have, minimum, we have an option in place, assuming you know we want it,
right.
The March of 2013. So I think when the actual original extension back in 2009 was tied to that, quite honestly, if it's June or March, I think your point goes to the issue of getting past the
president. In light of that, I think it should be tied to their current option.
I'll make a friendly motion.
Told you.
Yeah, we already got it. So okay. It's tied to their option, which is
March 31, 2013.
Correct.
Is that what you said, March 31?
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyone else on the discussion? All right. The motion before you is extended to March 31st, 2013. All those on the issue, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Our youth and governors who's dozing off, or you will.
School night.
I say aye.
Aye. All right, Supervisor Clark, you're excused. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll back up now. The last item on the agenda, 8:49, we will take item number 6, resolution response to BIA notice received 11-7. at 7-Eleven in Buddy Common by Kenosha County, the Menominee Indian Nation, application to place land within Kenosha County into trust for the purpose of Indian gaming.
On November 7th, the executive's office received correspondence from the regional office of the BIA in Minnesota, and they have invited comment on the, the application of the tribe put the property into trust. They give a brief description, nothing new there in terms of the legal description for the land, the project description, the proposed land use. They talk about the number of rooms, the nightclub, et cetera, et cetera. But they make this comment in here: your written comments should be addressed to the Bureau of Indian Affairs office. Listed at the top of this notice, any comments received within 30 days of your receipt of this notice will be considered and made a part of the record. As we are only updating your previous comments, no extension of time will be granted. Additional copies of all comments will be provided to the applicant for response. You will be notified of the decision to approve or deny the application. If we are aware of any additional governmental entities that may be affected, please forward a copy to the department. So basically, we're being asked, we're being told that the property is being applied for to be accepted into the trust. And we can talk a little bit about that process. We are reissuing the notice to have comment. So if you want to comment, I don't think we need to comment.
And I can give a little, just a background. Technically, what this comes up is under the 151 provisions, anytime the United States has land in trust for a tribe, they notice entities, government entities that have jurisdiction over the property. So and this notice went to the city, the county, and the state of Wisconsin. No, you don't need to comment yet. I guess the people who comment on these are usually the people who are opposed to the property. That's in essence kind of what it comes down to. So.
It all works.
So it's like our board's opinions.
All right, so Frank, your what's your position on this? Are you suggesting that there is reason for us to comment or no?
Well,
or
coming
need for
into
us to
it,
comment, or a desire from you or our counsel to outside counsel to comment? What?
Right now, you have given approval to or a recommendation to the county board to extend this for another year or year and a half, whatever it is. It sounds to me like there's not going to be any objection to the application at this point. We've had two referendum on it. There's been one extension after another. There's been some dialogue tonight, some answers have been provided. I think that if we didn't have that dialogue tonight, the committee here would have had to make a decision as to whether or not you want to continue with this. And you could do one of two things. You could either send a comment saying, you know, we have some opposition to this, we've changed our mind, or in the alternative that grant the extension, but I think I don't see a need to do anything with it based upon your action, the deliberations that were going on tonight.
Supervisor Noble.
What about all those questions that you were rattling off before? With some of them.
Well, they're still out there.
Can I touch on that?
Pardon me, can we ask for that, or do you think we best not? I mean, you talked about the chicken and the egg thing.
Yeah.
And there was a whole bunch of stuff you were talking about.
Without discussing, the ramifications of that with outside counsel, my recommendation would be to perhaps note that to the BIA. We're still in favor of it. We are in negotiations. We are in contact with the tribe, and we have asked for some additional information, which we have been assured is forthcoming.
Here's where I'd like to try to wrap this up tonight, and that's maybe a good segue into it. We do have questions that remain to be addressed. I'm not convinced that a response to the BIA, to this request, is something that I necessarily believe or see the county in a position to have to do. I would agree this is typically, this is kind of your public notice that you're going to send out to all of the adjacent property owners when we're doing a conditional use for a piece of property here in the county, right? Right. Anyone with 100 feet of the property, they're going to get a notice.
Or weed spraying
or whatever. So anyone tied into this project and then some is going to be noticed that where it sits in the process, and now is your time essentially to oppose it and or support it if you're inclined to do it. So I don't see any real value in sending the comments that Frank just mentioned to the BIA, only because my concern then is you potentially open up a can of worms. So how do I wrap this up? I wrap it up with some recommendations for presentation to the county board. And again, I said a little bit ago, it isn't the presentation we had here tonight. By that I mean this. There is a list of questions that are out there. Indicate that you understand the questions, you've heard them, here is our response to them today. Respond to them definitively, as confidently as you believe you can, and then the full board hears them. You heard from Supervisor Clark, I couldn't agree more. What is the scope of the project? You want to reference Mr. Erickson's letter? I don't have a problem with that. Don't present that as the main fact in the case, so to speak. All right. Talk about why you believe you can make phase one at $250 million work, what it looks like, what it feels like. Okay? Still includes a temporary facility. We think it's going to include X, Y, or Z. I just need you to, I need the presentation to be in a way that I can listen to it, believe you understand it and are committed to it, and know it's doable. And then a lot of this, there's plenty of time to sort it out. I think you should address the Jimenez case, or Jimenez, or however you say that. I apologize. I don't recall what you said it was. You should address the case and the point that John brought up this evening specifically, I think, is important to parts of the questions and the issues that are out there right now. It's a good piece to touch on. You mentioned the land in the trust. That's one of the questions that's on the list. So I think you touch on that. You touch on the issue that it has to be deeded. It isn't going to be deeded until this happens. To me, that is the comfort level that I'm looking for. If we need to formalize this stuff in writing, then within the next whatever period of time, we can do it. I just was at a meeting at the town hall, which I represent the town of Summers on the county board. So I was at the town hall where the electors vote on the budget. It was an absolute free-for-all, and the reason it was a free-for-all is because, quite honestly, it wasn't presented very well. We all heard it for the first time that night, and what we got out of the chairman of the town board was, you know, we've accomplished a lot over the last year, and we've really done quite a bit to put a lot of new strategies in place and implemented some guidelines, etc., and that was it. No specifics. We didn't know anything about it. So you said the same thing here tonight, that you've been working like crazy, you've been responding like mad. Really? To what? What are the responses? What have you done? What have you submitted? Where are you at the time frame? Specifics. Not that we've been working like crazy, we've got a lot to do yet. What have you accomplished and what's next? And all this will do is minimize the number of questions and the opposition we'll get on the board floor.
Yes. So on that, so would you, is your suggestion that we actually go over the task list and what those specific things are that the Bureau has requested of
absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely, without question. Do you have to get every minutia?
And is that something
hit
that
the
we
highlights.
Could do in a public meeting, John, or?
We'll discuss it. I think we certainly could make clear what the Bureau has.
I have to assume the application of BIA is all public record.
not all of it, but...
Not the letter back to us on what they want us to do.
Well, you know,
we
hit the high points.
Right.
Okay.
If we can't touch on every aspect of it, make sure you touch on the important pieces. phasing we talked about, financing we talked about. Again, I recognize you don't have the financing study, but here's what you, you know, in my, again, my opinion. You talk about the fact that you are in contract with someone to update each component, whether it be environmental impact, the financing, et cetera, the overall plan. We are in contract. They're working on it. But here's what we know today. Here's what we are confident we can do as of today. And it has to be, again, presented in such a way that, that there is no question in our mind that you're not completely 100% behind the fact that you can accomplish what you're going to tell us you can do. And then the other piece I have on here is the BIA timeline. You know, I know we don't know what that is. I know it is open-ended. I know it is the federal government, and they'll do what they want as long as and take as much time as they want. But when you say, here's what we, here's the communication we've had, this is what we believe they're committing to, we need to hear that, and we need to hear it that you're confident that you buy into whatever the hogwash is they're selling you. Yeah, and we don't know what they're going to do. We just don't. But at the same time, this is what you've been told, and this is what we're doing to meet that timeline, to force them to commit to what they told us they'd commit to.
Mark, is your only meeting next Tuesday for December?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the follow-up question I'd have back to you is, when is the city taking this up?
Take it up the third Monday, so...
And they are taking it up for sure?
We request it.
We request it.
Not sure we got a response.
Okay. Supervisor or Vice Chairman Eckert.
With regard to that letter from the BIA, I really think it would be a good idea to respond to them, but just to acknowledge the receipt of the letter, thank them for your opportunity to comment further, tell them we have no further comments at this time. That way, nobody can say we're waiting for something that we assumed they wouldn't be waiting for.
Frank, do you need that in a motion? Does the committee, well, before you write that down, I do everything like Chairman Eckert has suggested as well, but we should probably poll the committee here. No. Anyone in opposition to that?
Yeah, I am. I'm not so much in opposition, but I think the right thing to do is get have this council, our outside council, give his opinion as to what our response should be in conversation with Frank and respond accordingly. I mean, we have our opinions, but this isn't like getting a notice about cutting weeds next door. I mean, this is a little bigger than that. So I think as long as we've got a corporation council, you know, involved as well as outside council, we should go with what their recommendation would be.
I just don't think we should not respond to it. There needs to be a response. Otherwise, you know, they could make the assumption.
I would go along with that, but to the extent of the response, I think you should consult with outside council.
Supervisor Elderman.
I don't have a problem at all with responding, and if we're going to respond, I suppose it certainly wouldn't hurt to talk to the outside council about it. But if you read this, and I don't think I read it between the lines at all, what they're asking for is, do you have a response? And there's no need to respond unless you would have any changes. We are on record pretty deep in that as being in favor of this, and we have document after document after document. That's what they're asking. So, but I don't see a problem with responding to this. But I think they're looking to see, basically, if we would have any big changes.
Frank, can you follow up with our council with the thoughts of the committee, get their feedback as to what this response ought to be, and you and I can talk ahead of Tuesday's meeting, and we can fill the board in maybe at that point.
I can do that. I just wanted to comment. I have tomorrow and Monday.
Is that okay, Doug?
I suppose Tuesday before the county board meeting, we can hand out what your response is. And I think we ought to communicate over the next couple of days. And make sure we've hit all of the points that have been thought about. those are my only 2 days tomorrow. And I also need the extension.
Yeah, I'll send that tomorrow with the cessation of gaming. I'll do a red line and a clean, so
okay.
You can see the change. Not, well, I'll send you a red line and a clean and see if that works.
John, do you have a question?
Well, I was just going to say, if I would request that if the town decides they want to send a response to that, allow us to see what that response is, what you could comment if you think that's another problem. Not that you have to listen to our comment, but just so we can provide our
city problem.
I don't think this is going to be a problem. It's just going to be an acknowledgement thing.
Oh, yeah,
we're
no.
All right. Any other discussion on, I guess, any of the topics we've touched on Tuesday night? My thoughts on the presentation. Mark?
So Tuesday night, so that's December 6th, is the county board meeting at 7:30.
I will, out of respect for your time and where you're traveling from, I will agenda the item as close to the top of the agenda as I can. So you'll need to be prepared at 7:30 to present the issue.
So are you looking at more of a verbal presentation, or should we be looking at trying to do some kind of PowerPoint?
I don't need a PowerPoint, but if you could have at least a synopsis or...
I just did that 2 weeks ago and got in trouble for a PowerPoint.
No. but I think you should have at least some talking points for everyone to put on their desk.
Oh, okay.
If I could just add something, I don't think this has to be complicated at all.
No.
And I mean, don't fret over it, because basically if I was doing it, I would walk in and say, we've been asking you for extensions because we haven't known what's going on. We now know exactly what's going on. And our time frame is this, this, and this. Just like Supervisor Molinaro said. So we're now knowing what we need. We're asking you for the year and a half because of the election cycle. And that'll be the end. You're not going to get a lot of questions from the county here.
Yeah.
There's a couple of people, and you heard from them before. So, I mean, I wouldn't really get worked up about this.
Yeah,
it's going to be very simple.
I plan on getting a lot of sleep over the weekend, so I'll be...
I won't pass the gavel, so you probably won't hear a whole lot out of me, if that helps. Calm your nerves. John, did you have a point to
me? Before, hasn't
it? No, I was going to ask about PowerPoint, so.
No PowerPoint.
No PowerPoint,
we
yeah. Weather.
We don't want to hit the
light. It's not
snowstorm. I was up at Racine today for a planning commission meeting. They meet in their chambers, and they have that new roll call system in there. Very nice system, so we can pull that up. Our chambers will be in good shape.
How much did it cost on here again?
I have no idea. I'm sure they were. Yeah. It's in our budget.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've got $125,000.
Mm-hmm. That's still in the basement?
No. Yes, ma'am. That's you're thinking of your.
Whoa.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I just want to make a comment on the presentation that you have to do to the county board. Good luck, first of all. And just like listening to what you have to say, you're very passionate about it. I saw that. And, it shows. So, I mean, you know your stuff. You just be confident about it. And also, I think a good idea to go in with would be a timeline, like a guesstimation of just, they like visuals. And if they can, just have, an overall idea of it. That's just my advice. So try to do a timeline. But don't dim the lights because they'll fall asleep. I'll go with the timeline or something like that. But good luck.
Just thank you. I appreciate your comments.
Yeah,
and see youth in action here.
I think I tell
you
three insults.
I understand what you're.
But look how on point she is with it too.
It just sounds like what you're going through is like when we're in school and we have to do group projects and no one cooperates, and then you're stuck doing all the work. And that's what it sounds like to me. So
have you been following me around and I don't know it?
Well, no, that I'm just coming from normal. Coming from a school thing. We're learning about it in AP Psych. It's called social loafing. I took my AP Psych quiz today.
Thank
and I was
you.
On it. The group projects and how people social loaf. So I understand. Good luck. Thank you.
I appreciate the comments. 9:09, number 8, any other business? Trust there is none.
Move to adjourn.
Motion adjourned by Vice Chairman Eckert and second by Noble. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, we are adjourned. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it.
You shouldn't be stiff.
It's like popcorn. That was like flowers.
I don't know what you read in that little book last.